program is meant for an adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised. This is Loveline.
Loveline.
With Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam, that's Dr. Drew. Dr. Drew sets a new personal best in the mic slugging department.
Well, I didn't hit it. That would just be grabbing it.
Well, no, still made a thud.
A little thud, yeah.
Let me check with the judges. As long as it was an audible impact, it counts as, mic
I
abuse.
Didn't know that.
Yeah, you, Drew's personal best was set in, I think it was April of 99. It was 3.7 seconds into the show. This, it can't be measured by instruments that we have.
Well, we have to send it to the lab.
Yeah, Drew, you punched a mic one millionth of a second after it heated up.
Nice.
Usually you wait at least 8 seconds. Trapped is our band that's in studio tonight. Chris and Monty both here representing. Someone in control is the name of the new CD, which just came out last Tuesday, because that was the 13th. Am I right?
Mm-hmm. You got it.
I ask this every time, and I'm not sure when Tuesday became the official release day of records, but it couldn't have been going on for 20 years.
It's got to be like 3 years, 2 years even.
Yeah, right? But that means it's been 11 years.
Could
and
be.
You're going to freak
be.
Out.
Oh, easily could be, though.
You guys have any idea when this began?
I think I remember asking around the label, and I don't think anybody
You've
either.
Asked about it for 3 years, and no one's given a satisfactory answer.
Well, as a kid, do you remember waiting, like Drew, as a kid, do you remember waiting for Guy Lombardo's record to drop?
It's Glenn Miller's. Give me
Glenn
a break.
Miller's record to drop in the 40s.
Yeah,
was that a Tuesday you were waiting?
No, it was variable.
It varied, right?
Yeah.
Like, I don't think I've ever bought a record like right the day it came out.
It's a weird thing.
Yeah.
It means you've arrived.
Friday or something.
Yeah.
So it was a Friday.
Yeah, it seems like if payday's Friday, that's when you're going to do it. Yeah. Everything ought to come out on payday.
Yeah.
What's Tuesday? You know what I mean? Like, if I'm coming out with something, my thing is, when do people get paid? Friday. We drop it Friday night.
Yeah.
Let them get drunk, and then let them drop their money on my crappy product. Not your crappy product. I'm talking about my crappy product.
I actually remember when...
I don't mean you have a crap. You know what I'm saying.
Oh, whatever.
I actually remember when Led Zeppelin Houses of the Holy came out.
Did you wait in line?
No, but I remember it being a big deal, and I could swear it was a Friday.
Yeah.
I could swear it was a Friday.
Yeah, it was an event. It was like a movie premiere. Yeah, so, like, movies would come out on a Friday, and so should records.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right. You guys got to do another record. You got to call it Houses of the Holier, and you release it on a Friday.
We will. Next one.
Yeah. And they're like, well, we'll only release on Tuesday, and you'll be like, we'll just do it the following Friday. That way it's like 4 days late.
Yes.
Yeah.
Perfect. You know what I mean? Like 3 days late.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
The band's going to be at the Avalon in Hollywood on November the 12th, and tickets are still available through Ticketmaster. And what else? Debut record, 2 million copies. Drew.
Wow.
That's a lot.
Huge.
That's platinum. That's double platinum. Is that double platinum?
Yeah.
Platinum's
that's
a million,
double.
Right?
That's, yep.
Double platinum.
It's an amazing thing.
True.
It's awesome.
Did you want to say something?
Just wondering if we need to announce this Cry Wolf thing at this point.
No, we don't, goofball. Don't you remember producer Ann?
Well, she's on line 7 there, even though they haven't written it up.
Oh, really?
Yeah. No, not on line 7. There you go. Okay, then don't.
No.
Drew, you ever get tired of it being wrong?
Never. Why would I keep doing it if I got tired of it?
You would make a horrible animal. You know why you'd make a horrible animal? Because all animals have is their instinct.
Right.
And all you have is a book.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Your instincts are horrible.
No,
but
they're good.
You're a smart guy.
My instincts got smashed long ago.
But you don't know they got smashed.
Oh,
and that's
yes,
what
I
makes
do.
Your instinct. Well, stop relying on something that got backed over by your parents in 1972.
Well, that's part of the problem. When things make sense, you just go barrel ahead. Even your instincts go,
No, you have no instinct.
What's left of them?
True, you have no instinct.
Right,
you're a fine doctor, you make a horrible raccoon. You understand? And I say that with love. Well, no, some people rely on their instincts. Drew relies on his textbooks. Yeah. All right.
Whatever works.
Yeah, whatever works. Well, look at him. He drives a beautiful car. He's got a beautiful family. Obviously, everything works. Just do not rely on their instincts. Like, if we ever go camping and get lost,
then you'll really see it come apart.
I will say, Drew, now take this map and take this compass. Which way should we go? No, which way do we go? And then you point south, and I go, fine, we're going north.
Interesting you would say that. I went with a friend through Europe when I was in medical school, and it got to the point where, no joke, every time he'd ask me which way, he'd go the opposite way.
Yeah.
Be right 9 out of 10 times.
No, it's perfect. Yeah. I could take you to the track. I could win some money.
Oh.
Gambling with Drew. Having someone who knows what's right is good, but having someone who knows who's going to lose by virtue of thinking they're going to win, that's just as good.
It's a little different. It's not quite as good because I just know who's not going to win. I don't necessarily know who's going to lose. You know what I'm saying? It's a little bit trickier.
I still want to know, like, when the Super Bowl comes around, I want to know who do you like? Who do you like?
That's good.
Who do you like?
There's two.
Right.
We just got to bring it to the roulette table.
Yeah. The only problem with that stuff is once you recognize it, it seems to go away.
Well, then it works against you.
Well, because you're such a perpetual loser.
Right. You got to lose.
You can't win even when we think of it.
Right.
And then speaking of the... And I say this with great love and admiration.
You guys neighbors?
you see how he treats his neighbors.
The other thing, Christ. Well, they started it. I just finish it. Here's the other thing I always think is interesting, too. Speaking of the Super Bowl, I remember a few years back, they did that thing where they say, whoever wins the Xbox game, they play that two players from each team play each other like Xbox a couple of days before the game. The winner of that's won 11 Super Bowls in a row.
Nice.
This was Tampa playing Oakland and San Diego a few years back. Well, whoever won ended up losing the Super Bowl, and then that went into... When the Washington Redskins win at home, the incumbent president doesn't get reelected.
Right.
It's gone this way for 1,000 years.
Then that goes away.
And the whole thing about these things that are never wrong, once you shine the light on them, they always go wrong. They have to keep going, but you can't notice them.
Right.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Right. And the crazy thing is, once they're not 100%, we let them go completely.
Yeah, the whole thing. I mean, remember the whole Bush election thing? The election was the Monday after the Skins played at RFK, and the Skins have won the last with the incumbent thing. It's gone on since McKinley. And boom, the Skins lost, and it's like, oh, good. Bush is out. Nope, Bush is in. So once you figure it out, it goes away.
Trapped is our guest.
In studio. Who ironically feels trapped by this
conversation.
Still, the dialogue I'm going at them. But it's heavy, right?
Yeah. It's heavy.
Yeah.
It's intellectual.
Oh, now look.
All right. Now we have somebody on the air who... Let's put her on hold. Let's take one call.
All right.
Pre-med.
Line one.
Brittany, want to go to line one? Brittany, 16.
Hello?
What's up?
Okay. I have a question, but I want to change it. Screw it. Okay.
Okay. Fantastic. That's what a bogus call sounds like, by the way. Yeah. That's one of the ways.
Is that bogus, or is it a technical problem?
No, that's her. Brittany? It's all her.
Hello?
Spit it out.
Here you go.
She's getting coaching in the background.
Let's do it.
Just do it!
Brittany, you going to talk?
Oh, I can't hear. My phone's hella cutting out right now. But my question was...
It's hella cutting out?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, here you go.
Okay. I had a problem this weekend with one of my friends, right? And she was making a big deal about how I was acting. But then she, like, really flipped it because she was mad that her boyfriend wasn't with us. But it was like... I don't know, should I tell her, or because she was watching out for what I was doing this weekend because we went to parties?
Did anybody understand anything that she'd said?
I don't know.
What'd you do to piss her off?
Okay, well, I didn't do anything, but, you know, we're all 16.
What did she think you did?
It's my friend's 17th birthday. We all were just acting dumb, and we were doing whatever, right? Mm-hmm. And she got mad because her boyfriend didn't stay with us, but then she took it out and said,
Brittany's all class.
She is just...
Look, here's what I'd like to do sometimes.
Is there a question in there?
Here's what I'd like to build a time machine for. I would like to build a time machine for so people can just sort of get through life and get it over with. You know, Brittany, why would all the abusive just boyfriends, a couple scrapes with the law, you crap out a bunch of kids, yeah. ultimately hate you, one of them's in the joint, the other goes gay, the chick's stripping.
Just speed up to that
just,
point.
Just get to the point ahead. Where you're in a home and you're on your last breath. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
let's cut through all. It's going to be painful. It's going to be ugly. There's going to be domestic violence. It's going to cost taxpayer dollars. Let's get through it.
I agree.
You know what I mean? I know it sounds morbid and sad, but I'm doing it for Brittany. You know what Brittany has to look forward to? Junior college, abusive boyfriends, open container arrest, DUIs, kids who were censored.
Wouldn't the interesting thing to be to try to figure out how we could derail Brittany's
Well, then we use the time machine to go back.
Or can we show it to her or something?
Maybe you mean like a Christmas
movie.
Tale.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dickens. Yes.
Yeah. Dickens. Dickens. Do you? Okay. She doesn't know what Dickens is. Brittany.
Yes.
Are you good looking?
Yes.
Shocking. Wow. I can tell. What decade did World War II take place in?
It's in the 40s.
Ooh, okay. Hey. All right.
You have a nice softball to start out with.
Seemed like a softball,
like
but
history.
You like history.
Okay.
All right. It's not going to be kind to you, baby.
If you study it, it might be.
All right. So look. Okay. Here's the thing. Before you swear again, you're 16. You hang around with a bunch of girls. You all hate each other. This is what 16-year-old girls do. They talk smack, and then they cry, and then they try to win each other's boyfriends over.
Yeah, don't do
and they
that.
Just go at it
just,
constantly.
Yeah, treat each other respectfully. Don't go after your girlfriend's boyfriends. Realize how your behavior affects other people. Just kind of have a conscience.
And the other thing, too, is do not be scared to cut loose the people in your circle that aren't keeping up with the communal effort. It's a kibbutz you're all living on. And if somebody's not pulling their own weight, go ahead and toss them. You know that thing where it's like, oh, she stabs everyone in the back and she screws everyone over and she's two-faced, but she's our best friend and we have to put up with it. Don't put up with it.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you right now, these people you think you're going to know for the rest of your life, mm-hmm. God willing, you're not going to know these people when you're in your 30s.
Oh, my.
Start trimming the fat. Start trimming it now. Drew, if your wife let you hang out with other people, you wouldn't be hanging out with some of these idiots you went to high school with, would you?
No.
That's a hypothetical. I know it's a pretty big hypothetical.
No, I'd have to think real hard about it.
Pretty big hypothetical there.
But
no, there's people you know from high school that turned out to be pretty good, and then there's the rest of them. Cut them loose. Move forward.
Yeah, that's some good advice there.
Cut your losses. Everyone thinks it's going to go on forever. It's not.
Yeah.
All right, now there's a Brittany. Another Brittany who we spoke to last week. I think on Wednesday, who won the competition to go see who where?
She doesn't know this. You're about to tell her.
Brittany?
Yes?
You're going to Europe, baby doll.
Are you joking me?
No.
No,
you're
I'm
in.
Not joking
Are
you.
Are you joking me?
No, you're
No,
in.
I'm not. But if you say joking
time.
Me again, I will hang up on you and find someone who speaks English.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes, this is
so
exciting. Yeah, I know you're calling from Long Beach and Prague, Long Beach, about the same place, but it still should be fun.
Again, you can see a block party wherever they are playing in Europe. And we last week had the list of their concert appearances here, and I don't see it right now. Huge! That you can select from almost any city in Europe. It's crazy.
That's cool. Yeah, they're doing an extensive European tour, and you pick the city you would most like to see them in, and then who knows, maybe even sneak onto the bus and give them oral.
This was the grand
presentation of a dream.
This is all in homage to the Cry Wolf film.
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. It's amazing.
Brittany, what did we talk to you about last week?
About an ex-boyfriend.
And what happened? We were trying to resurrect the call.
It wasn't
quite
good.
It. Yeah.
Oh, she was screwing around on him. Could you? Were you the one who couldn't stop?
No, not me.
Which one were you?
No, okay. It was, I was with, this. I think the call was on Wednesday at about like 11, but it was my ex-boyfriend, and he cheated on me twice with two other men, and we were just, and our question was like, does he ever change? And
all right, you had the bi boyfriend.
Right. You need to just get out of that one.
Yeah, right.
Just forget about that.
And the funny thing is I had to actually get up because I was sitting right next to him.
Yeah.
And
no,
he didn't get out of the cop.
Yeah, you need to get out of there. And I don't know if they're going anywhere in Italy, but you should go to Italy and find yourself a real man. They don't allow gays there.
Just go shopping.
I'm planning on it. I am so planning on it.
All right. So you've won the Cry Wolf. People are going to send you to Europe. God love you, Brittany.
Oh, thank you so much.
Let us call us back. Let us know how it was. All right.
Oh, for sure.
We want to hear every
all
detail.
All right. And what's the phrase that pays? Drew, why don't we have a phrase that pays? Every other show has a phrase that then pays. We have nothing.
We have not even any funky sound effects. Well, we got the nice victory music. We got that.
But where is our phrase that pays?
Well, we can make it up right now.
We don't have anything on this show. We should be working on Rocktober and September right now. You know what I mean? We're in September. We're moving toward Rocktober. There's the phrase that pays.
100 micrograms of ethanol estradiol.
No.
Which is,
ethanol estradiol.
It's the progesterone. It's the levonorgestrel.
And where is levonorgestrel?
Or the norethindrone.
No, put that wiffle ball back down. Girl. Come in the house.
Behind. I'm sick of these kids, man.
It's David Allen Greer converting Drew's morning after pills, or actually birth control pills, into black children's names. So I guess that would be the phrase that pays on this show.
North End Drone, get in the house.
Yeah. Who do you want to talk to, Drew?
All right, up here. Oh, we got
up here?
This one. I beg your pardon.
All right. Let's, and we'll hear a trap song in a minute, too. John?
Hey, how you doing?
20. What's going on?
Yeah, anyhow, I am up here in Berkeley, and my roommate is a pre-med student who's usually a very intelligent and reputable guy. And he came home with what I am considering, and I'm running by you guys here, to be just an utterly nutty story about how if you soak your scrotum in, like, not boiling but very hot water for, I guess it's every day for a month and weekly, it can prevent spermatogenesis from occurring and essentially be like a not completely effective, but, you know, fairly effective form of birth control.
You can drop your sperm count. You can't reliably use it as a contraceptive.
But it would help, right?
You can wear tidy whities too.
It might. I mean, it might.
Maybe he's just making the world's worst tea.
It's been
well, a little ball koozie. My scrotum in a mason jar.
Oh, see, that's a bogus call.
That's a bogus call, but...
But something that's a reasonable question.
But Drew, what about
question?
It? I mean, they say, you know, when you're trying to have kids, you shouldn't wear the tight underpants.
Right.
Because,
when you're trying
to
optimize fertility, you want to sort of get sperm count
obviously,
as high as possible.
But let's use that logic and keep going with it.
But there's sort of there's an optimum fertility, and then there's infertility. That's not a...
No, I understand that, but what about instead of... heating them, what about, you know, microwaves or putting them in a paint can shaker or something? You know what I mean? Is there something you could do to the sac besides, you know, put a rubber band around it?
Yeah.
Is there something you could do to the sac, and are they working on that?
I don't think they're working on doing anything other than chemically affecting the sac, affecting the way it's stimulated to produce sperm.
Right. So there's no hitting it with gamma radiation.
It's an interesting question because it's outside the body, so it's a perfect candidate, right? We'll just hang it down and hit
work
it with some rays.
Well, yeah.
But it's hard to just hit the sperm or the sperm-producing cells.
And also, it's sort of the sac is the clip, but is there sperm in the chamber? Is there a bullet chamber?
There could be, but that goes away pretty quickly.
All I'm saying is could there be such a device that I put my sac into 5 minutes before lovemaking, it scrambled them, and then I was... No.
This stuff's all loaded in the seminal vesicles then.
Well,
so
actually, pre-loaded.
It's getting mixed in then. It's upstream from there.
All right. Well, let's, you know...
But the question is, but you know what I don't know? Because with biology, these things don't have, like... They don't always fit the story, you know what I mean?
Right.
And it seems like... You shouldn't be able to do that, but maybe there's just such a small amount of sperm upstream that if you broke the downstream production, maybe that would be enough to prevent fertility. I don't know.
Well, it'd be nice if you could get on top of a thing that was sort of like a pommel horse, and it glowed green. It had a weird scan light. And then a timer went off, 30 seconds, ding. You dismounted, and for the next 2 hours, you couldn't get anything pregnant. You know what I mean?
It'd be awesome.
Plus, it might feel good.
It would sell well.
It would. Everyone had one of those pommel horses sitting in there. And then if you did gymnastics, it'd just be That's just a plus. Okay. All right. Should we hear a trap song?
Let's do.
I think we should. Hey. This one is called Stand Up. Everybody, Someone in Control, name of the CD, out barely a week, just about 5 days or so in stores as we speak. The guys in the studio tonight. Quick question before we go to break with Benjamin, who's 28. Benjamin?
This is about the sperm issue.
Right. Benjamin?
Hey. Word up. What's up, guys?
Hey.
Word.
So you have a pommel horse procedure?
Pommel horse procedure? I think that's actually what it is. I heard about it on a LiveJournal post one of my friends made, and it was a link to an accredited site. A guy in Australia has a polymer injection into the seminal vessel that has an odd positive and negative ions, and when the sperm pass by it, because it coats the inside ring of the seminal vessel, when
right.
the sperm pass by it, they're actually stuck to it. So they don't actually go into the reservoir.
They've done this on humans or on animals?
On humans.
Oh, wow. I don't know. How do you get it in there?
How do you get what?
Samuel Vesicles, here's my anatomy book. It's way up in there.
I could get there.
They inject it. They actually use a syringe. And
is it painful?
As far as I know, no.
Oh, yes. Oh, please.
Well, wait a second.
As far as I know.
Well, yeah, I mean, if they're under anesthesia.
But how long is it effective for?
They're up here. Look at that. You have to go
5 years.
And then what the hell happens after that? You get a clogged polymer seminal vesicles?
It's way up in the ass here?
I mean, here's your bladder.
Yeah.
Here's your rectum.
Yeah.
It's right in between the bladder and the rectum. But it's a good two fingers.
Two fingers.
Yeah. Prostate cancer.
Yeah.
Well, prostate's below that. Who knows what could do the prostate?
Where would you plunge the needle?
That's the question. Would you try to go through the urethra and then like through the bladder or something? Would you thread the needle through one of the holes into the vesicle, or would you go through the rectum?
I take the urethra to the 118, then we go to the Slauson cutoff.
And cut a hay?
Yeah, and cut a hay. Then we take the 4-level over to the NADSAC. Now, if the NADSAC has a hymen line, we could all get into that. But if you don't want a carpool, then we'll just go through the anus.
Go to the vas deferens.
And we'll meet you at the vas deferens, yeah.
But listen, there's a hole, you know, into this whole system from in the seminal vesicles. That's what injects the semen into the urethra.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe they just cannulate that. But still, putting a polymer into your seminal vesicles, yowie. Yeah.
So polymer, I mean, a piece of plastic, and it's charged?
Right.
Is it a liquid form?
It coats it, he said. I don't know. It coats the outer surface.
The guy must really hate condoms.
Yeah, we...
Right, that's right.
Benjamin?
Yeah.
You say this is out of Australia?
It was from Australia, and they're doing it in Canada now.
Interesting. All right.
Here's the thing. There was a time when this country was great, and we used to experiment on prisoners. You know what I mean?
And one another.
Now all those ACLU pussies are ruining it for everybody. There was a time when we just pulled prisoners aside. We just got to work
also
on them like
laborers.
We were Germans
or something. Laborers, you just lose a few of them per project.
Yeah, we'd use prisoners for everything. We'd build dams. We'd work out new cures to diseases. I just like to get back to that day. That's all. Now we get sued if they don't have cable. You realize?
And the prostitutes and
they got to get conjugal visits and we got to send in a couple of hookers because the guy's a sex addict and he has a note from his doctor. It's awesome. They get to do everything. I'll tell you the one thing that drives me insane though is
the one thing.
Oh, all right. Let's not even get started.
I'm
getting fired. Somebody had an idea about 2 years ago to get DNA swabs from the prisoners on death row so that we could clear some of the cases that were on the books. Because, as you know...
Save a little manpower.
As you know with these guys, if there's a guy on death row, there's two choices. Either he's innocent, or he's killed a bunch of other people and he's only in there for this one.
Right.
Right? So we got a bunch of open cases on the books. We could close some of those cases down and give some of the grieving families a little bit of closure if we could get some DNA and realize it's the same DNA that was on the bloody bed sheet in Mississippi 4 years earlier, and that guy's already in the joint. Yeah. It happens all the time. They're looking for people, and the guy's locked up in another city, in another state, doing time for another crime. So this makes perfect sense. You're on death row. Get the swab. Get the thing. Whatever. Who steps in? ACLU. Not going to let it happen.
How come?
Well,
it's against their rights. They have a right to
privacy. They don't like whenever the man has a halfway decent idea. They like to get involved and screw things up, but. Their thing is it somehow would be stepping on their rights, their privilege,
or
whatever.
I just don't know how they win. I don't know how.
Oh, they win.
They must have a lot of influence somewhere.
Well, basically, I think they just tie things up for long enough that whoever's good idea it was eventually 5 years later just runs out of steam. And
I think it's also because the logic of law has been disconnected from the practical issues and the spirit.
Yeah.
Completely disconnected from
that. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, no, that loss turned into, oh, we know O.J. did it, it's just they didn't prove it in court, so we're letting him go.
Right.
That's
become a technicality, like everything else in this goddamn culture.
Yeah. Right. All right, Trapped in Studio tonight. We'll take a quick break. Be right back after this. Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Chris and Monty here tonight from Trapped. Not enough guys named Monty anymore for my money. That's a rock solid name, Monty.
True.
Monty's solid. No young folks being named Monty anymore.
He'll come back.
Yeah.
Monty Hall kind of screwed it up for people.
Drew and I were talking about this on the air, I think it was Thursday, where we're talking about the crazy black names, but I was saying, I think those folks are smart because I think they wait and see what the kid looks like and then give him a name. And I think white folks name kids way too far in advance. White couple gets pregnant, they start looking through that book of names. Yeah. Just after the guy pulls out, pow, they go looking at that book of names. And you wouldn't name your dog before you saw it.
Yeah, you're right.
You think it'd be a big deal if, like, you know, you named your kid and then, you know, 6-8 months into it, you realize, well, they kind of got a different personality.
Right.
Maybe
that's
switch
what I'm
the name.
The dog Fluffy if it turns out to be a hairless dog.
No one's going to know.
Right.
Do you think the kid would even know, though, if you changed his name 8 months in?
No, of course not. He wouldn't know at 13.
Yeah.
Not for my family. I mean, look, here's the thing. Yeah, right. You decide you're going to name your dog Fluffy, not on the way to the pound, after you get to the pound, because you drive home with a Rhodesian Ridgeback named Fluffy,
right,
and it doesn't work right.
Yep.
I say wait it out. I say there should be a rule that you can't name your kid until month number 6.
Or just a trial name for year or two.
Yeah, you see how it fits.
Yeah.
Lease him a name.
Maybe a couple.
There's a, you know, one of our actresses that we like from Dawson's Creek, Busy Phillips.
Yep.
Her name wasn't Busy. She's a busy kid. She was busy.
Right.
Now she got
nickname.
A good name.
Yeah, yeah.
It's her nickname, but it worked.
Yeah, it worked for
her. Why make it a nickname? Could have been a real name.
You're right. I didn't know a real name.
Agnes. Gertrude.
That was a real name.
Labia. No, I don't know what her real name is. The point is,
leave it a gestural.
Let's take a look at the kid for 6 months, then decide.
You know, I was just urinating here, thinking about that seminal vesicle polymer.
Monty, rock solid. Let me tell you, Monty's sight unseen. Even though this Monty looks like a Monty,
it'll work no matter what.
It's gonna work.
Yeah,
it's gonna work. That's right. Go ahead. Or I saw Jimmy's friend Elliot today. No more Elliot than Elliot. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Glasses, nebbish looking. Maybe naming him Elliot
made
turned
him
into Elliot.
I think there's some of that that goes on.
It's like these a-holes. I remember a few years back we were looking for Jesse James. He was a fugitive from law. I think we caught up to him a few months ago. He was killing people. I wanted to sue his parents. If you would have named your kid Elliot instead of Jesse James, we'd have a CPA running around, not a murderer.
That's right. There you go.
Outlaw.
Anyway, these seminal vesicle polymers that you stick in there, I started thinking, you know, just putting a needle, forget injecting something in, but just getting a needle into your, or a tube into your seminal vesicle, you could have symptoms the rest of your life. You could
really?
Never be the same.
I would never do
and
that.
And then putting some foreign substance by
it.
Well,
yeah, I was waiting for
goodness.
The mason jar comment to come down anytime.
Well, no, I think it makes sense that there's something like that that's in research out there, but oof, I wouldn't want to do that.
Yeah. Well, again,
just use a
prisoners.
Damn condom.
Yeah. Let's talk.
That's the big deal.
Let's talk to Jackie, who's 19. Jackie?
Hey, is there a possibility that you don't use my name when you put me on the radio?
All right, Jackie.
We're going to give you a trial name.
Yeah.
Thank you. Anything but Jackie.
Leave it a gestural?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay.
Levy.
Go ahead.
Pretty much, I've been with my boyfriend for 5 years, and I'm 19,
yeah.
And we don't use any protection. I'm not on the pill, and I haven't been pregnant yet. Am I, like, infertile?
Nope, it's just...
You're lucky.
You're lucky, yeah.
Let me give everyone a tip who's calling into the show that doesn't want their real name used on the show. There's one way to ensure that, and that's not to give the phone screener your real name.
That's right.
Okay, just I'm sorry about that.
That's all right. It's just the surest way I know.
Because otherwise we announce the name first thing.
Right.
All right, here we go. So here's the deal.
Hold on, junior college?
No, I actually go to a really big university.
Really?
Yeah, I'm like
Irvine.
Pre-med and on a softball scholarship.
Softball scholarship pre-med. Wow. Well,
Jackie, what do
don't get pregnant.
I mean, obviously there's some risk of fertility issues here, but the overwhelming probability is you've just dodged bullets.
Yeah.
For sure.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, you may have two of you may have some fertility issue between you, but at 19, for the most part, you're lucky.
Well, here's what it is. It's like saying, I've been driving for 5 years. I've never gotten into a car accident. Does that mean I can't get into a car accident?
Or do I have to wear my seatbelt?
Right. Yes and yes. Yes, you will or can, and yes, you should put your seatbelt on, but you've been lucky thus far. Some people turn 16, backing out of the DMV, get into an accident when they get their license.
Right.
All right. So here's the other thing. Jackie.
Mm-hmm.
Caller.
Lady.
Like she didn't respond.
Caller who doesn't want to be called Jackie. That's what I'll call you. Because I don't want to use your name. You play softball, correct?
Yes.
Why can't you guys just wear the goddamn baseball hats? Why do you have to wear the stupid visors with the ponytails?
You guys, dude, I love the pants. Like, the shorts.
No, visors. Why do you have to wear the visors?
Yeah,
why can't you wear a hat?
Because us girls that aren't dykey, we have layered hair that's cute and it gets in our face. So the visors keep it out of our face.
I understand the visors keep it out of your face, just like a hat would.
In fact, you can put it up in the hat even.
You know what? I tried to sport the hat, but I got totally made fun of.
For wearing... So. Okay, here's all I'm saying. You're playing softball, which is essentially baseball. You have an opportunity to wear baseball uniform or softball uniform like guys wear. Guys don't wear shorts. Guys don't wear a weird visor like they're dealing 21 from the 20s or doing accounting for a mob boss in the 30s. They just wear a goddamn baseball hat. Here's your chance to wear a baseball hat and baseball pants. Why do you got to wear the weird shorts thing with the knee pads and the weird visor and all? Just wear a baseball hat.
Baseball clothes, too, yeah.
The whole thing. Ahead and dress up like you're playing baseball.
It's designed to protect you. I don't see how you get protected with the knee pads.
But it's baseball. It's like...
I know.
Just put the outfit on.
Yeah. It's baseball.
I'm saying, like, how can you do better than a baseball cap? Isn't that the best part about playing for a team? You know, the day you get the cap with your emblem on. You guys get some crappy plastic visor. What are you doing? Put the baseball hat on. Who thought of that visor thing?
And the weird shorts.
And the shorts.
It's like dangerous. And the weird that's shorts. Ridiculous. Yeah, you'll be sliding. And plus, if you've seen the getaway sticks on a lot of those broads, it is for... Yeah, they need to be covered. And they need to go long. They need to go long like Big Poppy over on the Red Sox.
Getaway
you know?
Sticks.
Yeah, they need long pants. Long and baggy. And let me say this. I've been watching a little bit of baseball. I see there's a guy in the Sox that does this. There's a guy... on the Angels, I don't know, it's Cabrera. I don't know who does this. They're the guys who have the huge wads of pine tar stuck to the front of the helmet. You know, where it's all, you can't read the emblem. You can't see the Red Sox emblem anymore on some of the guys' helmets because it's black with pine tar. Mm. And it's the same with the Angels. There's a couple guys. There's a guy who got it started on the Red Sox. He went to the Angels. He's got huge smudges and smears of pine tar to the point where you can't see the A. Or you can't see the B anymore. Have you seen this, Trent?
No, I've not seen it, but I can
how
imagine.
How do you miss every facet, every part of life?
I don't watch my baseball.
I watch almost no baseball. No. Never seen it.
Never seen it.
Never seen
it. I may have seen
guy.
It, just not registered, didn't know what it was.
Who's behind me? Rick?
Yeah.
Rick, find a picture of the Sox guy. All right, Drew.
I want to see it. I want to see it.
Yes, you must see this. Yeah. All right. Now, and then remind me to get back to this.
All right.
Drew, you've seen it.
Let me see it on the thing, and I'll tell you about
you've seen it a million times. All right. And then remind me. Tia?
Hi.
Germany or Florida?
Yes. First, I'm going to say hi, Adam, Drew. Hi, Chris and Monty. I got a Germany or Florida.
All right. She tells us the question, and we guess. Is it Germany or Florida? Go ahead.
All right. A man has been lying to unsuspecting locals in order to use their telephones to call sex hotlines. The man in his early 40s is in the habit of pretending that his car is broken down in order to gain access to other people's phones and call the expensive numbers. At least four women are thought to have been duped, and one of them told police, "It was raining and I felt bad that his car is broken down, and so I let him in to call the breakdown services." But after 15 minutes, he still hadn't come off the phone, and when I went to look, he was red in the face and was obviously excited about something. When I pressed redial, someone called Jasmine answered and asked what she could do for me. And on my next phone bill, I found he's run up almost $75 on the call. Germany or Florida?
Germany.
Jasmine.
Sounds like Florida.
What makes you say Germany?
Just because does it rain that much in Florida?
Yeah. Well, parts of Florida.
Summertime, yeah.
But it rains. Rains everywhere.
Rains in Germany, yeah.
Florida.
The language
that,
is a little
that sounds
bit,
like some panhandle antics right there.
Yeah.
It's a little bit German expression.
Panhandle antics.
But the chick's name was Jasmine.
But maybe it was an English-speaking
could have been calling. Yeah.
But it was $75, not 75 euros.
Interesting.
Mm.
She could be screwing that with us. With that.
Yeah.
That our callers will...
Interesting. What do you think? What do you got?
I keep thinking Germany for some reason.
I would say, I mean, if she's smart, it's Germany.
Yeah, and the part where they let you into your house to use to call the services or whatever it is.
Yeah, that sounds weird, right?
I'm going German.
All right. Mm-hmm.
Florida.
All right.
Monty, who did you, Monty, you go Florida?
I'm going Florida.
Yeah, Chris?
Specifically
Germany.
Panhandle.
Germany.
So two Germanys and
three Germanys and a Florida.
And a Florida?
Yeah.
Here we go.
Tia?
It's Germany.
Oh, yeah.
Hell yeah!
Sweet.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Sweet. The victory tastes
Finally.
So sweet.
So good.
You said you had no instinct, Drew. What happened there?
I was swallowing him.
All right. Trapped in studio tonight. We'll take a quick break, and we'll be right back after this. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Trapped in studio tonight. Chris and Monty from the band.
Idaho.
Someone in Control, name of the CD. Jenny McCarthy coming in here on Tuesday. Saw Siskel and Ebert, Roper and Ebert. Yeah, would have been nice. Well, you guys can stay here for 48 hours.
We'll hide out the
we closet. Show up at the gate on that day?
I'll tell you what, come back in 72 and you can smell her chair.
All right.
So we'll do it. Gave her movie the worst review of any movie I've ever seen in my life.
Wow.
Yeah. They were like, once in a while they do the two thumbs down, then sometimes they're like, not only is it two thumbs down, it's way down, it's like incompetent, and what was she thinking? Uh-oh. It was brutal.
What was the film?
It's a new movie called Dirty Love, which I guess is coming out, and she's going to be plugging it, so don't
tell her. You going to ask her about the review?
Might have to ask her if she saw that, yeah.
Uh-oh.
It was brutal.
Mm.
Brutal. All right. You ready to keep on keeping on?
Here we go.
Cervix freezed. Let's talk to Amanda. Amanda?
Hello?
Amanda, what's up?
Hi, how are you?
We're good.
Is that start as Amanda and just go to Amanda?
No, it's Amanda.
Uh-huh.
All right.
Yeah.
Never was Amanda.
No.
All right.
Okay.
All right.
All right, I have a question here.
All right.
Okay, are you familiar with...
I don't like a chick with the name Man, right, in the beginning. I feel weird having sex with Man. And they start calling her Man for short. Now,
Manny.
People are like, who'd you have sex with, Man?
Ooh.
Must have been some parents that named him before they were born.
There you go.
Probably
See?
Thought it was going to be a dude.
See her.
Yeah. Face. Yeah. Smart. That's why we got to wait. Go ahead, Amanda.
Okay. I had this surgical procedure thingy called cryosurgery.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what it is?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, like, and I was wondering, like, they told me that I couldn't put anything on it, like, inside it. And, like, the discharge that's coming out, like, it smells. And I want to use, like, feminine wipes, and I don't know if that would, like, do anything bad.
That's fine. Well, how long ago was the procedure?
It was done on Friday.
True. Yeah. What's a feminine wipe? To me, anything you wipe your vagina with becomes a feminine wipe.
That's right.
The Kleenex, cattail, anything. It all becomes a feminine wipe.
What's
you know
that,
what
Amanda?
I mean?
What are you saying?
It's like Massengill or something, I think.
Yeah, but you don't put it inside. You just use a wipe on the outside, right?
You just use it on the outside.
Yeah. That's fine.
You're talking about Massengill, right?
Well, I guess. I don't know.
Okay.
Gill.
Sweetie, if you're going to be a girl, you're going to have to learn how to pronounce douche. I mean, not the word douche, but the leading manufacturer. You know, Massengill sells, you know, millions and millions of gallons of douche every year. They're the leading manufacturer of douche. You understand?
Oh, sure.
They're the Budweiser of douche. They're not a...
the Budweiser of douche.
Well, they're not, you know, they're not a small boutique
king
douche.
Of douches.
They're the king of douches. You've seen the Massengill douche keg truck, have you not?
Yes.
The Clydesdales proudly pulling in, Ed McMahon behind the reins.
Pictures of summer breezes blowing behind.
And the winter commercial. Bells ringing. Big Clydesdales.
Anheuser douche.
Anheuser's douche. Douche responsibly. Yeah. All right, where were we?
Olivia.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Mandy.
Oh, yeah, Mandy. Mandy. Yeah, is she cool?
Yeah, you're fine. Yeah, I worry about that smell. Do talk to your doctor about it, because usually it's almost nothing after that. So,
speaking of feminine wipes, I was at the Tori Amos concert last night with my gayer-than-gay assistant, Matt.
And?
It was just gay on, gay on, gay.
Oh, these are those gold dust moments.
I didn't realize that. I didn't know.
What do you think, hardcore rappers? Who do you think's in the crowd?
No, I don't know.
Super gay. Super duper gay. Like, these guys should have had capes. Well, actually, they did have capes. But, I mean, they were like gay superheroes.
Sure.
I was the only straight guy in the entire Greek theater. And just the fact that, was it the Greek theater? I thought a crazy sodomy orgy was going to break out at any second. I thought it was just, speaking of trapped, I thought it was just a trap.
Oof.
You know, your gay buddy says we're going to see Tori Amos at the Greek Theater. Next thing you know, you got a ball gag in your mouth, and there's a line around the block to get to your glory hole.
Oh.
You know what I'm saying?
I think I do.
Okay.
Ugh.
All right. Yeah.
Hey, but good times.
Yeah.
Let's take a break.
Yeah, it wouldn't have been a gold dust moment. It would have been a fudge pack moment.
Oh.
Yeah, that's what it would have been. Let's take a break. Trapped in the studio tonight, we're going to find that batting helmet with the pine tar on it.
We're still looking for it.
Oh, we will find it, my friend. And then you will hear some of my vengeance.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Well, we got it. Good.
Yeah. All right. We'll be back after this.
These are those gold dust.
Yeah, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Chris and Monty here tonight from Trap. Anyway,
what's your sign?
We were just talking about uniforms and
yes, baseball.
I don't like it. I don't like that some guys have the pants that actually hang down so low it goes under their heel, mm-hmm. and then other guys wear the pants that come up around their knees, and then some guys wear the stirrups where you can see the stirrup, and then other guys have all sock that's just one color. Here's the deal. Someone should look up the definition of uniform, but that's the deal. Mm-hmm. You're supposed to all look like it's like...
Your uniform.
Your
Everyone's
uniform.
In...
Right, here's what I don't want. I don't want LAPD going, look, man, I don't wear, I wear sweatpants, and then I wear the top, and then I like to roll my sleeves up.
Right.
And I wear my hat backwards.
Right, or I like to shred my hat and then put it on.
Yeah, I like to rub crap all over my hat.
It all starts with baseball.
It all starts with baseball. And, I don't need the man telling the guy whether he can have the pork chop sideburns or the mustache or not, but... I would insist that everyone on my team, here's the deal. We're going to take a vote on how to wear the pants, and that's how we wear them. But everyone wears
them
that way.
Uniform.
Right. And if you like big chunks of pine tar, which really just looks like bear crap, smeared all over the front of your batting helmet to the point where the team logo is obscured, I'm going to, and you can do that, by the way, $5,000 a game will be what you're fined.
Right. How do you think, the military
Understand why baseball, though, doesn't get involved. I know everyone wants to know what we're talking about, because I was complaining about batting helmets and softball and white girls.
Trapped here tonight.
White girls. I said that. I said that.
Brittany was our winner going to Europe tonight.
I said that.
Okay.
Here's my point. In the NFL, you can't do your own thing. You got to have your hip pads tucked in. You can't have them hanging out. You couldn't take the Pittsburgh Steelers logo and put crap on it and go out on the field. You would be fine. You can't just do your own thing.
Right.
Well, why not in baseball?
Right. The original deal of teams were military teams.
Right.
And so athletic sport teams are just sort of renditions of that. It's not about individuals doing their own thing. That's boxing.
Yeah. Yeah, that's why in boxing, that's why you get the tassels going.
Right.
Well, the white guy can't pull that off.
No. But you get that's a different issue.
You get the fringe going on the trunks. You get, I like once in a while, guy fights in not really trunk, almost a loincloth.
But here's it. You get whatever the hell we want that works.
That's right.
That's it.
That's right. Leopard skin loincloth. Dylan?
Hello?
You're 18?
Mm-hmm.
What year were you born?
Yeah. Nice try, Dylan.
What year? Should we give you another 10 minutes?
Say something.
He's gone.
Wow.
Dylan is Dylan is 12 or so.
That was strong.
Yeah.
Here's the whole thing about the bogus call. Bring it on. Don't taco two syllables into my first question. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, yeah. Of course. Why bother?
Just bring it. Yeah.
We're going to go at you.
We need a valiant opponent.
Yes, and
thank you.
Yeah. Try to sound like at least one NAD has dropped if you're going to say 18.
Yeah.
So, like that guy actually sounded like he had a wind-up beanie on and was actually, he was calling from a cell phone, which was on his big wheel.
Yeah.
Like he sounded that young.
Yeah, yeah.
He sounded younger than 12 if he was even that.
Yeah.
And the other thing, too, is
that was all falsetto.
People don't do the math. They don't do that thing where it's like they go, I'm 18, and then you go, yeah, what year were you born? And they're like,
Yeah, 4 and 5 and 3.
Right. Now, here's how you lie, everybody. Nobody will ever get past the third question in life. All they want to know, they have a couple. They have like, what, you're, 18? You don't sound 18.
Right.
What year were you born?
The three-question rule. That's good. I like that.
Two or three?
Three. Three's a good rule. You don't go past three.
Nobody gets to the fourth question. People ask you, you know, what year, or how do you know this guy, or what do you know about this? You could be an expert on anything. You could claim to know everything. You could go anywhere. Everyone would leave you alone. All you need is the first two or three questions. Cop pulls you over.
Prepare for the first three.
Yeah. Where are you heading at this time at night? You know what I mean? How many beers you had? You could be the graduate of any college you pick as long as you know what town the college is in, and you pick a major. You could be talking to someone who also graduated from that college. All you need is two or three, and you're done.
Right. You're right.
But nobody does that. Lazy line.
They don't even get past the first question.
Yeah, they just don't. Like, if you're going to, again, you're going to try to pass your age, just do a quick piece of math on your age. And, or, pick an age that's easy to do mathematically. Just, you know, you pick 20 when we were born, 85. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
All right. Don't you have to change your birth date? Olivia?
Yeah.
25?
Yep.
What year were you born?
79.
There you go.
That was quick.
What's up?
I get the world's worst hangovers, even when I don't drink very much. And so I'm just wondering why that happens to me and what I can do aside from just not drinking alcohol.
Couple questions. What are the characteristics of the hangover?
Generally around 5 or 6 in the morning, I start tossing and turning, and then by around 7, I'm violently throwing up all day until around 6 or 7 at night.
Lightweight.
Are you Asian? Are you Asian?
That is. You got to push through.
I'm not Asian. I'm white.
Where are your ancestors from? Hello?
Hello?
Where are your ancestors from?
Oh, they're from Ireland.
Ireland.
Oh, you should be able to.
Yes, that's some good stock for drinking.
But that sort of means you may be drinking more than you think.
Really?
Yeah.
How much do you drink?
It depends on the night. This has happened to me before when I've had just 2 or 3 beers, but other nights I'll drink a lot. And at that time, I think I kind of deserve my hangovers, but
you drink,
to get them regardless.
Well, I'll tell you when you can get it after just a little bit is if you drink every night. And one of the nights isn't very much, you can still get sick the next day.
You can?
You can have withdrawal, and or you can have a gastritis or a pancreatitis. You can have lots of things that can happen.
Why if you drink every night? I mean, if you drink a little bit every night, you can
still
get it?
Well, she's not drinking a little bit every night is the point. She's drinking every night, and sometimes more and sometimes less. But if she's drinking like that, even on the nights when she doesn't drink much, you can get sick.
What about when you drink like 3 nights in a row, and the first night you drink a lot, and the next day you have a bad hangover, but you just pull through, and you keep it going, and the next day you wake up and you're fine. What? And
then
the third day.
You if you keep drinking, then the day when you stop, you'll have withdrawal.
Okay, well, all right.
That's when the withdrawal kicks. That's
I would say start mixing with Pedialyte, see how that treats you.
Ooh, yeah.
And
yeah.
Take some milk thistle and some water before you go to sleep.
Believe me, the band knows. The professional, not only musicians, but alcoholics.
You can't find Pedialyte, get Gatorade.
There you go.
Yeah. Drew always says electrolytes. Yeah.
Keep that water going.
Well, but she's having a day of vomiting usually means gastritis or pancreatitis.
Yeah.
And that's a pretty serious thing.
Like I said, I hear lightweight. Olivia,
Well,
stop drinking or back off.
Yeah, I thought that was what I could do. But then the other night I had 3 beers and I drank water all night long. And I didn't go to bed right away. And so I felt like I took all of the precautions I could, and I still felt sick.
No. The precaution is don't drink. That's the only precaution you can take.
All right. Well, luck. Or, you know, push through. Drew, what's the best what's the best hangover?
What's the best hangover? Best remedy.
Best thing to do.
Best thing to do before that night. There are medications you can take.
Benzodiazepines. Wow. What have you been waiting on?
And then medicines to prevent the gastritis, the Pepcids and that sort of stuff.
Okay, so the night, let's just say good night of drinking. Before you go to bed, what would you do?
What would I do?
What would one do?
You'd do nothing because you had a good night of drinking.
There's nothing you can really do.
Well, how about eating a banana?
Sure, banana would be good.
I'd take milk thistle in it.
Milk thistle.
I don't know what it does.
What's milk thistle?
It's just like cleans your liver out.
Where do you get that milk thistle?
Your liver's not really involved with this process we're talking about at all.
Is that a vitamin?
This is a brain thing we're talking about.
How about a multivitamin? How about a piece of bread?
How about everyone talking to the mic except for Adam so much?
Bread, some food would be good. A lot of fluid is good because, and by fluid, I don't mean water. I mean the fluid with something in it, so like Gatorade, that kind of thing.
Why? Why not just water?
Because water, if you start vomiting, you're going to be losing sodium and water, and you replace it with water, and you end up with a low sodium in your body.
But water's good just if you're not going to vomit, right?
Again, I still think if you're going to stay hydrated, there's a difference between fluid and water as your body handles it. If you're going to stay hydrated, you need fluids.
Well, here's the thing. Gatorade ought to come out with a flavor that tastes like chili fries.
Then we
can combine the two things that you really want to do the most. Like you want some grease, some you want a burger, you want to go to Tommy's, you want to get a chili dog, you want to get a chili burger. It's 4 a.m. It's not going to make it. Gatorade comes out, but you want to get the electrolytes in you.
Because when the alcohol makes you dump sodium, potassium, and water.
Right.
And if you replace it with just water, you end up depleting, diluting everything in your body.
That's why my Gatorade chili fries flavor comes out.
Full of salt. There you go.
You bust it out. It's a cheese floating on the top.
And then when you vomit, you really feel like
You feel like you went out and made a run. Well, here's the problem, quite honestly. People get loaded. People think it's a good idea to go make a Tommy's Burger run or In-N-Out Burger run or Fat Burger run. Half the 502s people get, half the DUIs people get, are on the way to make those stupid runs.
Look at Andrew Rick. He's like, yeah.
That's what happened. I got a guy who works for me, got 400 hours of community service.
Yeah.
My buddy Gary. 400 hours of community. Really break that
Gary
down.
Gary the carpenter?
Gary the carpenter. 400 hours community service. Blew a 2.7 because he decided to go grab some Taco Bell when he was blasted at 11:30 at night. Mm. Now, the drive-thru had just closed, but the cops stayed open all night.
I have a buddy who got a DUI trying to make a run for the border, too.
That
Taco Bell.
You should literally keep going for the border. Yeah, here's the thing. I don't know what percentage of DUIs are received on that run, but I'll guarantee at least half is going out to grab something greasy. If we had my Gatorade chili fry, thirst-quenching flavor, all right? Now, obviously, you wouldn't use it at the basketball game.
Right.
You know what I mean? No one wants to chug chili fries after playing hoops all day in the hot sun. And here's the thing. You would never use it because it'd just be sitting around grossing you out until you got loaded. And then you realize, I either drive down the hill to Tommy's, get the DUI, spend the night throwing up in the drunk tank, or I drink my chili fries flavored Gatorade. Huh?
Okay, what would the cool name be? And they have all those fancy names, the Frosty.
Yeah.
Chunky Chili, or what the heck would it be?
Yeah. Chili
Chunks.
I like Chili Blast.
Nice.
Sounds
like Blast of Chili.
We work extreme chili blast, and you just drink, you drink your chili fries. All right. And you could do a greasy cheeseburger flavor or pepperoni pizza or whatever it is sends you down and sends you out to go get that deal. And believe me, cops know when you're pulling into Tommy's out on Van Nuys, out on Satakoy and Sepulveda, 2:45 in the morning, they know you're blitzed. You are either drunk or you are stoned or you are drunk and stoned or possibly worse. And if you're a cop, it's easy pickings because you're enjoying yourself a burger, too. You're just hanging out. What do you want to do? You want to go down to the crack den out in South Central? Or how about we go grab a double king cheese over at Fat Burger?
Van Nuys and Satakoy.
Yeah, we'll go out there. We'll hang out. And everybody who's in this drive-thru line is loaded. There's one guy who's going fishing with his son, and they're getting an early start. Everyone else could be arrested.
Well, so you know how the guy that takes the orders, the lines get so long, they have a scout there on the line. Just have a cop walk with them with a ticket. A little
breathalyzer and just walk that line. All fast food places after midnight. That's it. LAPD ought to just open a place called Chili Fries. We're open till 4, amigos. You know what I mean? Big sign up there. Saturday night, open at 4 a.m. Chili Fries and malts to go. Drive through, and then you just set up. There's really nothing inside. So it's like a styrofoam cash register. There's nobody actually working there. And then people start piling up, and you just walk by at the breathalyzer and just start pulling people out of
like
the car.
Like a cartoon.
Yeah.
The cars go off empty.
Right. But if the Gatorade people would get off their asses and start focusing on my Chili Fries flavored Gatorade, we would save this country.
All right. Okay. Let's take some calls.
All right. But you know what I'm saying.
I know what you're saying. I got it.
Strong.
Steve, 25.
Powerful stuff.
Steve.
Powerful.
Hey.
Hello? Steve.
Hey, how you doing?
25. What's up?
Well, not me, apparently. I'm having trouble getting and maintaining an erection.
Hold on. Who wants chili fries right now?
I'm dying.
I'm dying for chili fries.
A chili burger is what sounds right to me.
Well, I'm doing both.
Yeah, Tommy's is causing me some confusion here.
Yeah, I would. Well, you know, you would get the burger, and then when you ate the burger and the chili dripped off, and I would wipe it up with my fry.
Stop it.
You know what I mean?
I think Steve's bogus.
You do?
Mm. But let's talk about it anyway.
Yeah. It should be nice to have some chili, you know. Steve?
Hey, what's up?
So what's going on there?
I swear, not bogus. I do like the chili cheese Gatorade idea. Sounds good.
Mm-hmm.
Straight male. I have a girlfriend. Love her to death. Really into her. For the past 2 months, it's been like every now and again, if we did it earlier in the day, I wouldn't be able to go again secondly in the day the second time. Mm-hmm. And it's just getting worse and worse. Like, it's gotten to the point now where it's like I can't even do it by myself. I can, like...
Hold on. Slow down here.
That's real bogus.
Are you on any medication?
Not before, but right now I am because they found an infection in my lung when they did a chest x-ray because I was having some chest pains as well. So I went to the doctor to complain about the ED, and they're like, yeah, you're an idiot, and they just gloss over it. But they did some heart work on me, and it showed that my heart's not pumping as much blood as I should with the EKG. And but then
wait, Steve, you're all screwed up. EKGs show you nothing about blood. What are you talking about?
Oh, well, the one doctor I went to, she said your EKG says your heart's...
hold on. There's no chick doctors. This guy's all over the map.
Shows you what? The EKG is about the electrical activity of the heart. You sort of can refer, you can draw inferences about the condition of the muscle as a result. So what's wrong with the heart muscle?
I was just having some chest pain, and I was just having it checked out.
And so the EKG was fine? Because if it weren't fine, they would have put you in the hospital.
Okay. Because there was a little bit of a language barrier with her. She was a... Armenian descent, and I was kind of...
And did they try to put you on a... Hang on a second, Steve. Slow down here, buddy.
What's up with this guy?
Anxiety disorder, for one thing. That's why he's not getting erections.
Oh, really?
Oof. Sheesh.
He's anxious. Man, I want some chili fries.
I know, me too. So let me finish with Steve here. Let me wrap this up. Steve, did they put you on a treadmill?
No, they didn't.
All right, so there's nothing wrong with your heart. They also did a chest x-ray, and they saw a little area of maybe infection?
In the lung, yeah.
All right. So, of course, for sure, if you had normal erection function and then all of a sudden it goes away, a medical workup is appropriate. They should have done blood work on you or whatnot. Medication is a common reason for that.
Okay.
However, in your case, you're trying to perform like at a sort of marathon level of sex, where you're having sex twice a day, every day, and you're wondering why you're progressively running out of steam because you're having sex every day.
Yeah, but at 25, you should be able to pull that off.
Not anxious guys like Steve, not eternally. He probably pulled it off for a while and then just sort of ran out of steam. When he got into his sort of rhythm, this isn't his rhythm.
Speaking of pulling it off, he can't even do that successfully anymore.
But after he's had sex in the morning, he can't ejaculate in the afternoon. That surprise. That's the way
it
goes.
Yeah, it's been like 2 weeks now where we haven't had any at all. And it's like, we'd get into it and we'd try a little bit. And it's like, you know, it gets like almost there and then it just shuts off.
Are you nervous about it happening?
Probably a little. I'm like, you know, kind of self-conscious about it. But she's real, you know, you know, calm. And she's like, hey, don't worry about it. It's okay, whatever. And
well, then finish the medical workup. That's the appropriate thing to do. I mean, it could be an anxiety-related thing. And somebody your age, again, that's a common reason that they have problems.
Mm-hmm.
You've stopped having sex, it's, you know, for 2 weeks, and you're still having difficulty. I'd still look go down the medical path.
Mmm.
Mmm. Chili fries.
No, I was really thinking of how many less accidents and DUIs we would have if all restaurants just closed at 10 at night.
That's right.
Oh, that's true.
You never go on a drunken run.
You'd probably curse the day that ever happened, though.
Oh, I would. Yeah. And then you want to talk about, like, morbid obesity and stuff, the damage. What you can do between midnight and 2 a.m. when you're drunk and you decide to go on a run.
That's just alcohol, but the pot.
Yeah,
come on.
Dude, no. Yeah. Hey, one could make an argument like they have, you know, the 10-day waiting list for buying firearms and stuff like that. With the obesity levels we have in this city, in this country, and the DUIs and stuff like that, one could make an argument for having these places close 10 o'clock. It's like they don't serve booze. I mean, liquor store closed, no serving booze from 2 a.m. to 6 a.m. I think people sort of agree on that. Mm-hmm. People might make the same argument with fast food.
Mm-hmm.
I would chain myself to a Wendy's if that happened and not let it happen.
Yeah,
but I'm just saying, logically...
That's just conscientious objection. I mean,
you could make an argument. All right, let's hear a song from Trap, shall we?
Good idea.
What do we got off of Someone in Control is the name of the CD. Got a little song called Waiting.
I'm
Yeah, Trap. Good song from Trap. In studio tonight, we'll nail this out as we speak. Someone in control, I should say, which is came out last Tuesday. We'll take a quick break, and we'll be right back after this. Yeah, everybody. Loveline, Madam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Trapped in studio tonight. Chris and Monty here.
Hey.
You know, Drew, we monkey around sometimes. We're talking about this sort of rich man, poor man thing. Like how real rich people and real poor people share some of the same similarities.
Right.
In their lifestyles.
The cars at the front yard, multiple cars, the padded furniture in the front.
Yeah.
Outside.
Well, like, let's say, like, really rich people have a sofa outside. Maybe it's around a pool and a cabana, and really poor people have a sofa outside, too.
It's on the porch, though.
Same with showering outside. You know, the list keeps going and going. Lots of cars being towed for good and for bad reasons.
Yes, yes.
I experienced something that made me really realize what a winner I was the other day when I had a car flatbedded to me.
Oof.
You know what I mean? Like,
not to put the few extra miles on it to go pick it up.
Cannot be trusted.
Wow.
The point is it, you know, I've spent a lifetime not only towing cars, but towing cars with like a fire hose tied to the bumper. We literally towed a car once. We put one of those football pads, you know, the ones you put on your forearm, that the ones the coaches use, you know, to do the drills with.
The shiver drills.
Shiver drills. They use them in karate class, you know, those kick pads.
Yeah.
Taped one of those to the front bumper of a guy's car, and he pushed my car through Coldwater Canyon and up to the, you know, from the west side to the valley side, all the way, just bumping it, just pushing it.
Whoa.
Worked fine, by the way. Could have got a crazy ticket, but it worked like a charm. But a flatbed, when a flatbed comes to your home and drops the car off.
What kind of car?
That's when you've arrived. It was an Aston Martin, and it really almost brought a tear to my eye that something was being dropped off instead of towed. After having three, I'm the only guy I know who's had three motorcycles towed. towed. Three of them towed.
It's quite a track record you've got.
Yeah.
It's good.
Yeah. Oh, four.
Uh-oh.
Four motorcycles towed. Yeah. One was my bike that I lent to somebody who had it, who then got towed. But who else has had four motorcycles towed?
Nobody.
Was it due to negligence or because they broke down?
Super white trash.
Super negligence.
No. None of them broke down. None of them broke down. They were all... One was towed. Just get off the bike and had it towed because I didn't have a class 4, class 3, or whatever license I needed to be on the bike. One was towed because it was parked too close to something when I was working in Century City as a painter. And another got towed in front of my house because someone ripped the license plate off it, and they towed it. And a third got towed at UCLA when my buddy Umgad Abu Zamzam borrowed it to drive in, and the license plate.
Finally met Umgad. It's a very exciting moment for me.
Yeah, yeah. He still owes me for that bike.
Umgad Abu Zamzam.
Yeah.
What kind of name? It's like a novelty name out of a cartoon or something.
You want to know what's funny? When you get your bike
Sinbad cartoon.
When you get your bike towed for not having a class whatever license, you can't pick it up from the tow yard until you go to the DMV to get a temporary class whatever license, except for you can't take the test because you don't have a motorcycle because it's at the impound yard.
Oh.
So you take a written test, get a temp, and then go to the tow yard and go get your bike. So you're just the same place as you were before. You just took a written test. They don't know if you can actually operate the motorcycle. Oh, it's good. Oh, when you're poor, baby. When you're poor, life just sticks it and then starts twisting the knife. Got to get, now you have no transportation. You have to get a ride to the DMV, then a ride back to the tow yard, then pay for it, get the bike, then drive the bike back to the DMV and go around the pylons. When you're poor, you just wait in one big goddamn long line.
That's it.
Just go get in line, baby.
Jill, 17.
Hi.
Hey.
I'm very nervous to talk about this right now, but I just wanted to know if I need to consider what I did with my cousin when I was like 12, if I need to consider that rape. We had sex. I
didn't. Yes, it wasn't that's a definite yes.
Well, hold on.
No, it's a definite yes at 12.
Well, can't she finish your question? Who did you?
That's the
you,
point. It doesn't matter what happened if she had sex at 12.
I know that.
How old was he?
I don't know how old he was. I don't even know if it was a he.
Yeah, it was a he.
Don't give me that look, Drew.
Like,
she could have screwed around with their girl.
I hadn't seen him. I've only seen him like once in my life, and I was like 3 when we drove up to Seattle to go like up there for Christmas. And then when they came down to California a couple, like 5 years ago, I was really attracted to him, and like they stayed with us and I'm here at my dad's house, and like he just would always come in my room at night, and it happened like 3 or 4 times, like 3 times. And
how old was he?
He was like 18, 19. He was a lot older.
And you were 12?
He wasn't even a bad guy. Like, he was all into
games. No. Yeah. Well, she was an old 12, and he was a very young 32. But so
don't even look at it as rape. It's sexual abuse. It's childhood sexual abuse. You could have been 10. You could have been 8. It would have been the same thing.
Yeah, although better 12 than 8.
Yes.
That's what I've talked to a couple people about it ever since it's happened, and that's what they told me. And they told me I need to see like a therapist. And
well, here's the question. Why is it? I mean, maybe, and yes, you should see a therapist because of that incident, but you should mostly see a therapist for what 12-year-old thinks it's a great idea to hook up with a 19-year-old who shares the same name.
Right.
Okay, but see, okay, I understand that was wrong. I'm not, like, messed up or anything bad.
Well, Jill, whoa. Stop with the right and wrong stuff. Go look at a 12-year-old today. Go to the 7th grade.
Well, not today. Go back about 40 years and see one, because now they got boobs and attitude, and they're all,
look at a 12-year-old
and stuff like that.
Go to the 7th grade at your middle school and look at those little children. And realize that's who you were. And you're
a little kid.
Jill.
I was like totally
I know, Jill, but you were 12. Go look at the 12-year-olds even that are developed and realize you're holding yourself accountable to a level of sort of sophistication and cognitive abilities that 12-year-olds don't have.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't like you did something, planned something. You were 12.
Well, okay, but what happened in your family, if anything at all, that sort of led you down this path?
Well, my parents divorced in 97. I was like 9, and things were all right, you know? Like, I didn't really know what was going on until I started, like, having to go to my dad's house for the weekends and stuff like that. But
yeah.
I'm an okay kid. Don't get me wrong. I just wanted to know, can I or do I need to blame the fact that I became really sexually active, like, right after that? Like, literally right after that. Do I need to blame that on what happened?
Look, here's the thing. It's a causative factor.
Jill, you're 17. You're trying to figure something out that is a clinical issue that you have no business even trying to figure out. Sit down with a therapist and deal with this. There's a lot going on here. And yes, when kids are sexually abused and or raped, women particularly will often act out sexually compulsively after that. Yes.
And the guy,
but there's more going on here than you know.
The guy was 19?
Oh, yeah. He's, like, totally, like, that whole side of my family is, like, I hear they're totally crazy. They all have, like, medical problems and everything. That's why my mom never really, like, let us keep in touch with them.
So you're not still in touch with him?
No. Like, I tried to contact him about, like, over the summertime this summer, because I hear he had a baby with his wife or something who's, like, 16. And I tried to call him, and he was like, oh, Jill, oh, hey, I'm leaving for work right now. And then I gave him my phone number here in California, and he never called me back. And I told
Why did you try to call him?
Because he's my cousin, and I wanted to hear about his baby. And then
he's got a 16-year-old pregnant?
Yeah, and that's what I heard from my mom.
Hold on. I mean, Modesto, 12, Drew, I know I've been wrong in the past, but
no,
please.
No, you're never wrong about this.
Please, at least his side of the family, Jews. They just have to be Jews. There's no other culture that would do this. I know it sounds racist, everybody. I'm sorry, but I speak the truth. He's now, the guy's like 25. He's with a 16-year-old. She's pregnant. He was banging his 12-year-old cousin. They're calling from Modesto. I just know Jude. I just do. I know I've been wrong about this every single time, but this time I know I'm right. You guys are Jewish, right, Jill?
Yes.
No.
I don't know what's up. I don't know what's down anymore. And let me tell you something. All I have out here is my confidence, people. That's all I bring. I don't have equipment. I don't have sound checks. I don't have a bass guitar. I don't have plates to spin. It's just my own instinct. And what I've been
failing you.
I've been wrong every single time about this Jewish thing. And it's really starting to haunt me. I just can't. At least his side of the family, Jews, right, Jill?
No.
At what point did you discover this or come to this conclusion?
Come to what conclusion that he's not?
No, I'm asking Adam, actually.
When I hear about the incest, when I hear about the teen pregnancy, when I hear about the sexual abuse, it's just what the Jews do. That's all. And again.
Do you guys think that this is why he didn't call me back? Is because now he realizes that I'm older and I'm...
Jill, he's a criminal. And he's a very disturbed person.
And then
do not expect anything from
him.
And
the last thing this guy needs is some chick he banged when she was 12, who's now a year older than his current chick who's pregnant. I mean, this guy's a disaster.
Now, do I need to be worrying about anything happening to me in the future? Like, I know, I always hear you guys say, like, oh, you're an alcoholic now, you were sexually abused.
Jill, here's the thing. You sound like you come from a horrible family, and this sounds
not that bad. It's not that bad, and I'm not like weak or anything. Like, I can.
No, you're fine. You're fine.
Yeah,
you're gonna need you're gonna need a little therapy. You're gonna need to get focused, not act out. I don't walk around
at all. I've kept it secret.
What about the heavy sexual activity you had for the years?
Call that acting out.
Yes. Okay. Jill, you don't understand what you're dealing with. Please go see somebody. You're behaving as though you're an expert and understand all these things. You don't understand what
acting out sexually at a young age. I mean, it all points toward
Judaism.
It points toward the temple. Yes. The 12-year-olds. Hey,
no,
just dry.
Jill, even your thinking about this is wrong. The way you're thinking about it being good and bad and weak and strong and all those sorts of acronyms, those words you're putting on this have nothing to do with these situations.
I'll tell you, if I have a son who's just, you know, banging around with the 12-year-old cousin who's now in his, well, this is 5 years ago, he's now in his, you know, mid-20s, got a 16-year-old pregnant, I'm just going to have a drifter kill him.
Hmm.
That's going to be my thing.
I'm with you on that one.
Let's just put him
down. Lock him in the basement forever.
Just put the guy down. He's obviously... And I will decide that he's tortured and knows not what he does, and this is why he needs to be put down. So fast to do it with horses and other animals, you know? Why not humans? Horse didn't even do anything. It was just running along, broke its leg, pow, gets a bullet. This guy's single-handedly destroying society.
Yes.
I mean, they don't realize the wake they leave behind them. You got this poor Jill. They have, you know, she's questioning. You know, she's going to walk around for the rest of her life remembering this incident.
Yeah.
And then hooking up with people and having kids and then passing that trauma along to the kids.
That's right.
Being attracted to men who will traumatize her and the child.
Yes,
the legacy goes on.
There it is. This one cousin visiting over a weekend.
Sociopath.
Right.
Yep.
Let's stop them, everybody. Not Jewish. Man.
Actually shocked.
Drew, I've never been right on that one either.
I know. Your instincts really fail you on that one.
Only on that one.
Maybe she's Korean.
Yeah. Could be Japanese. Yeah, you're right, because that's another. Okay. We'll trap here. We'll take a quick break. Be right back after this. Yeah, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew.
Big Finish. Come on. Here we
Big
go.
Big Finish. Here we go.
Crafts in the studio.
Crafts in the studio.
Great night.
Nice crowd, Monty.
Here we go. Jim.
Hey.
What's up?
Hello.
Yeah.
There you go, Jim.
Go.
All right.
It happens every time you go, let's get it on. Come on. Here we go. Let's ramp it up. What do you say now? And you're like, hello? Jim, here we go. 20 on the line. Hello?
You're always confused. And
it's always confusing, yeah.
Okay.
Took seven.
Here we go, buddy. Let's get it on, Jim. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Woo!
Try four.
Yeah, cannot stop this bum rush. Jennifer, let's go. Let's get it on, baby doll. How say you? Yeah, here we go. What's up? Yeah. Corolla. Yeah, get it on. Let's go.
Let's get it on. I got two questions.
Yes.
The first question's for Dr. Drew.
Yes.
And the second one's for Adam. First one, Dr. Drew, if taking Sudafed for allergies, could it actually show positive for meth on a urine or blood test?
Yeah, on the urine it could.
Yeah.
Not necessarily, but it could.
Is it something you can take every day, or just like once and show up positive, or is it something you have to have built up in your system?
No, it could show up right away.
Okay. All right.
What's up?
I took a drug test. Well, I was at a party, and I thought, oh, okay, I've never done this. This is kind of dumb, but I'll do it anyway just to see. And I ended up puking my brains out and hated it. And
what, Sudafed?
No, I didn't.
Speed?
It smoked meth.
Yeah.
Nice.
Hardcore.
Yeah. Well, you know, a little retarded, I guess. But I thought, oh, let's just try it. You know, one of those put it under my belt kind of deal. And it was a horrible experience.
You must have been up for two nights, right?
She said she smoked meth.
I was puking for a night, but no, I didn't say days. I took like three or four hits, I guess.
It's weird because you can't really hack it out of your system. If you drank something and you could throw it up, you could throw it up. But if you smoked meth, it's in you.
And it made me sick, but it was horrible.
All right, what's the question?
Second question. So, Adam?
Yeah.
So you say there's sex and then there's Durex?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that a good enough plug?
Yeah, that's good. Why? What do you want?
The package. The condoms.
Oh, yes, you get them. We're not giving those away anymore.
Yeah, we stopped giving those away.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
What a bummer.
Yeah, that was nice. Nice try.
Breaker or anything?
Oh,
no, look, I've been on the show for 11 years. We don't have coffee mugs, t-shirts.
We have coffee.
We don't have coffee. That's a good point. I don't know, is there a show that's been on as long as this show's been on that does not actually have a t-shirt?
Or a logo or anything.
Yeah. It'd be an interesting question to put to the people. You show me a national show, TV or radio, that's been on the air for over 10 years, and find me one that does not have a t-shirt. And you understand, I go to crappy concerts. There's guys who had record labels for 10 minutes that don't mean anything to anyone, and they have t-shirts.
Yeah.
Everyone has t-shirts these days.
It's a cool market distinction, I see, Adam.
It's because
we don't need that kind of thing,
Our marketing strategy is no marketing strategy.
Right.
That's what makes us cool.
Right. It's counter trend.
No phrase that pays.
Nothing.
What is the phrase that pays again?
We're too goddamn cheap for t-shirts. Okay. That's the phrase that pays.
That's a good one.
You say that, we'll send you out, not a t-shirt. Mm. Ashley?
Yes?
You're 17?
Yes.
What's up, baby doll?
About 2 months ago, on July 14th, I had knee surgery on my right knee.
Mm-hmm.
And every 4 to 6 weeks, I'm going back to the doctor, and they just look it over and send me home. Well, it's still swollen.
What was the procedure?
I tore my lateral meniscus on my right knee, like on the right side of it.
Mm-hmm.
The right side. And they went in, cut off all my cartilage, so now I'm like retarded in my knee. And they just sewed me back up and sent me home that day. I go in every 4 weeks for
Well, Ashley, stop. You're like embellishing with all this drama. You had an arthroscopy? They went in with a scope.
Yeah.
Those are always outpatient. I mean, for the most part, you go home with them.
I always like this part where people get victimized by their hospital or their surgeon.
They sewed me up and sent me home.
I came in complaining of pain, so they said, take this, and then they left me there to... Yeah. Let me explain how the hospital works. You go in, they cut you open, they do something, they sew you up, and then they send you home. What do you think, you move in?
Well, right, exactly.
You see old people at the hospital. What happened? You're like, oh, I got my tonsils out when I was 14. Well, geez, you looks like you're in your 80s now. Yeah, no, and they never sent me home.
Yeah, they don't cut your cartilage up. They take it out, and they take it out not to make your knee, retarded, but to make it better, because the cartilage is.
I got a great plan, Ashley. Next time, do it yourself, would you, sweetie? Just go in your garage and do it yourself. Don't let the man. Don't trust the man. Obviously, he's got it in for you. He doesn't want to give you adequate medical help. Just take care of it yourself.
Yeah, but I didn't even go to a hospital. I went to like one of those In-N-Out surgery thingies.
Yeah, that's how that's
Don't
done,
chance
actually.
It next
that's
time.
How that's
you do
done.
Your own surgery. I'm just tired of everyone with their, and I can't, and they didn't even, and they never even, stop your whining.
I still want to know if that girl wants to blame her meth on her UA over Sudafed.
Right. Well, she said just one time she didn't say exactly the whole story.
She's going to tell her mom or whoever's testing her.
I see, that was Sudafed. Gotcha, gotcha.
Here's the other thing, too.
That's good thinking.
Yeah. People.
Dr. Drew said I thought what
in my head, I went, okay, she got busted on that one night, and then she has a follow-up test, and she's worried about the Sudafed.
People don't have adequate health care coverage, and then they complain about what they have or what they get, is they have no insurance. They don't take care of that at all. They have to go down to County USC, and it's like, I had to sit there for almost 5 hours before I was seen. Yeah, you do nothing. Let me explain how everything works, and it's no health care is no different. You don't want to pay for car insurance. You don't want to pay for this. You don't want to pay for that. Guess what? You don't get curbside service. You don't get gold glove treatment. You know, they don't put the white gloves on and have the valet meet you at the curb if you don't pay anything. Healthcare somehow is different than that because everyone has a right to it somehow, and they don't think it's right that somebody pays for it and gets better service. I guarantee if you want to pay for it, you'll go to a better facility. If you don't, you'll go to the clinic and they'll boot you out that day.
County care is pretty good. It's just cumbersome. You do have to do a lot of waiting and that kind of stuff, but the care is actually good that they get.
Yeah. All right. Let's take a break. We'll be back after this. I want to thank Trap for coming in tonight.
Thanks for having us, Monty.
God bless you, too.
Don't wait 2 years this time.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
Someone in Control, name of the CD out as we speak. And until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying mahalo.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.